Yeah. Have we started? No.
Are you ready?
I'll wait for the nod.
Yeah, we have. Like, we're recording. Like, you don't talk over it every time.
Have I talked over the intro?
You did. The intro's on now.
Okay. Just wait for the intro.
Ask us anything and we're bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Lady Hardy. It's Ask O'Blow.
Right, you ready? Now.
Wait for the intro.
This is the intro.
You know, like, I actually genuinely, I can't hear it. I've never listened back to the show ever, so it's like I don't know like what the intro sounds like. The intro could literally be you going, "Keane's a fucking nerd and I hate him," for 30 seconds, and I wouldn't even know, and I'd be like, "Welcome to Aslo Blows."
And now some absolute dickhead. Hi guys.
And I literally wouldn't even know. That's so mad. Now I think about it.
Oh my god, that's gonna happen.
Well, like, as you can see, I'm in a great mood, and I'm in a great mood because I am joined by Rick Nash, as always, and not Katie. Katie's not here. This is the best episode of Aslo Blows we've had probably since I took over. I think it's the only time. Is it the only? Because I think we've done one episode without you because you were sick. You died on the spot. And I don't think I've actually done a podcast here without Katie before. So
we
this
have.
Is gonna, what?
She broke her arms.
No, but Aslo Blows when I was hosting.
Oh, right, when you're hosting. Yeah.
So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Because
the first thing we have to mention, of course, as always, the Fantasy Wrestling League that we still don't really have a name for.
Fantasy Low Blows.
Now, I'll come up with a more catchy name than that in a bit.
Low Blows Fantasy sounds weird.
It
That's
does.
Better, yeah.
It sounds really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, actually, if you just want to come up with a name and tweet it in. That'd be great. Yeah.
Declan Byrne is just like Terry Thatcher.
Terry Thatcher Fancy Low Blows.
No, just Terry Thatcher.
Oh, yeah.
Just call it Terry Thatcher. And now we're going to Terry Thatcher.
We'll call it the Terry Thatcher Rihanna Greg Bulger Fantasy Wrestling League. Shamrock Rovers Fantasy Wrestling League. We'll figure something out. But I had a great week. Yeah, well, would you like to tell the story of how the week went, first of all?
Yeah, Keane won a week. Keane, after getting no points last week, fired back. You got 30 for Big E because he won the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Harper and Rowan gave you 10.
Fun fact, I was going to trade Big E out, and then obviously SmackDown was taped and stuff in advance, and I was like, oh, they won, so I'm just going to keep that.
You just got a steady flow of your guys like being booked and winning.
Rowan, man. Eric Rowan. Is he getting a 24-7 title?
Why did Pac... Wait, there's been a judges inquiry. Pac got you 10 points. Pac lost.
Yeah, but there was...
Oh, was he on two shows?
There was Dynamite and the pay-per-view.
That's why
I didn't realise my AEW lads are doing fucking daily.
Yeah, Britt Baker, Jon Moxley, Santana and Ortiz. It was just a solid week around, so you ended up winning that week. It's actually getting close now. I'm getting a bit fucking nervous and it's wrecking me.
Yeah, because I'm deadly at drafts.
You're like 10, you're like 10 points behind me now.
Nice.
Katie is catching up as well. So I'm on on 230. Sure. You're on 220. Katie's on 165. But she's actually doing like semi-decent.
You're just doing that so it sounds like we have three competitors in this. We have two competitors and Katie. Let's be honest.
But like the worst part is you won 3 weeks.
Yeah,
me and Katie have both won 1 week, but like somehow, like because I won the first week, I think I just like all of my wrestlers won championship belts in the first week, and that's why I'm still ahead.
Fair
but you're
enough.
Like the most consistent performer.
But, do you know what's gas? Is that I was pissed when you chose our truth because I was like, oh man, it's gonna fuck up everything. But apparently, the Singh brothers are the champion or one of the Singh brothers, and I saw this clip. I haven't watched Raw. But out of context, it was just them backstage. And the camera panned up to Eric Rowan. So if he gets the 24-7 title and it fucks up everyone that goes near him.
Oh, no.
I'm going to cry.
So would you be okay with the rules? Check on Twitter. Can you put out an official statement on what the rules are around the 24-7? Like, if Eric Rowan won it, would you be okay with the rules?
I'd go back. I'd revert to the old rules where, like, they appear on TV and get 50 points. But the reason I was looking forward to this part of the show is because now is the time for me to say, Rick, do you have any trades you want to make?
No, I'm good, actually. Cool. Kevin Owens is back, so I'm okay.
All right, great. I don't want to make any trades. Katie... Oh, wait! Unlucky, Matt. If, you know, it's not my fault. She's not dedicated enough to show up here. So, like, yeah, you would have had a chance to make a trade and save your team from being, you know, better than 165 points. But, unfortunately, the opportunity has come and gone. So we're going to move on to the questions.
We better explain like what the story is, because this is going to be confusing for people who are like, why was she on the main show? And we're actually recording the main this before the main show. So like, if like we've like said anything, if Corporate Keane just got randomly racist now and everyone hates him in between, I don't know.
What?
Like, we don't know what's going to happen on the main show. We haven't recorded it. But if Corporate Keane did something or I did something and like everyone hates us now and we're coming out like nothing happened, that's why. Because the main show hasn't been recorded yet.
Oh.
And Katie's not here. That's why. And she's also, we're going to be doing a special American Horror Story show on Monday. Me and Katie are going to record it. And that'll be recorded later. So if people are a bit confused about timelines and whatnot.
I don't understand timelines. Like when Raw and SmackDown both got taped in the UK, like on the same date.
Yeah, were they both in the same venue?
I don't know. This one, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get anything.
Right.
It's confusing. So, yeah, but just hop into the questions anyway. Fuck
loads.
It. Loads. You just actually, that's shit. Like, when you have to scroll through the doc more than twice, you're like, whoa, we have a lot. But it's all good stuff. So, thanks for your questions, as always. At Joe Stodge, what's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child? I don't know why we didn't ask you to clarify what you meant.
I noticed that, but I wanted you to read it.
Oh, okay, right. So I did read this today, but it was too late to really ask, you know, to correct it or whatever. So I decided, I don't know if you meant dumbest thing you've ever done, said, taught. So I decided to kind of do them all together as kind of like one big answer that kind of covers all of the possible questions. Mine... Well, what's your... Do you have a random dumb thing you've ever as a child?
So we used to play football out there in the yard. And like whenever I was always the one, like I fancy myself as a climber, so except like I was a big dude, like I wasn't like an agile guy, so like we whenever the ball went over the little fence, I'd climb up and get it. And then one time I still can't believe this happened in my life, as I'm climbing back, my like my like school trousers got like stuck on the fence and pulled my jocks down. Except like I my underwear, I'm literally like in an airplane position. I'm just like flying outwards with my arse facing the entire yard.
Oh, so this is like school, is it?
This is in school, in the yard, at break time when everyone's there. Just like my ass is just out, whatever, like fucking child is underwear, bro's fucking wearing, just like, there you go. The teachers, they had to fucking get a fucking, what you call it, a bolt cutter.
Oh, you're like stuck stuff,
they had
like
to cut me down, like. So I was there for about 20 minutes. That wasn't a highlight.
I can see what I see what you remember that, like all these
forget,
years later.
Like, yeah, I know, but that's like, I just kind of thought of it there, and I'm like, that happened in my life. That's not on a TV show.
Yeah.
That happened me. Oh, it's mental.
That's
yeah.
Why just don't climb for shit. That's the rule. Just if the ball goes over. I say if the ball went over after that, you're like, right, it's gone. We're never playing with it again. We're never touching it. We're never looking at it. Oh, that is mad. Like, wait, so was that like primary school? Like,
yeah, I was like 7 or 8, yeah.
That's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah,
shit.
I don't know how I ever came back.
Yeah. I'd have probably moved skills, personally. But
yeah,
no, whatever.
I thought about it.
My dumbest thing I ever as a child was not... It's not as embarrassing as that. It wasn't really embarrassing because it wasn't something anyone else realized I did. And I own, like, I did this for like a good few years. And basically, I don't follow rugby, but I used to watch like any sport that was on Setanta when I was younger, and I'd be into it just by default.
Just really trusted the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, these guys know what I want.
It was more that I didn't have Sky Sports,
right,
and I still
fair.
Don't. So it's like they're the only. It's literally this or Eurosport where they have like snooker and shit. So it's like, so I'd even watch NASCAR the other time, and I'd be like, whoa, they're turning left. but yeah, so I used to watch rugby. I used to watch like the club. Is it clubs where you have like lens to like the provinces?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to watch that. And for many years, all my mom's side of the family come from Cavan. So I used to cheer the fuck out of Connacht. I was like, come on, Connacht! I didn't realise for 5 years that Cavan was in Ulster. Nobody told me. So for like 5 years, I was cheering the wrong team. Like, obviously, I loved Leinster because Leinster would be like Dublin and all that. But I had a really soft spot for Cavan, so I was like, yeah, come on, Connacht.
Did you just think C It begins with C, so it's probably in Connacht.
No, I was just thinking it was like, it's over there. Because like, Ulster is like the north and all. It's like right. Belfast and all. So I'm like, surely, by, and I know Munster is like Cork and all. So
yeah.
If Cavan's not Leinster, it's probably Connacht.
To be fair, there's a lot of like, you know, nuanced politics in there. You know what I mean? Where I see where you're coming from. It's not in the north and it's not in Leinster. It's
for,
Connacht.
For a kid, it's not too bad. Like, yeah. like there's, yeah. there's people are, I forgive like, you like, there's adults who are like fucking... who don't know their provinces and counties yeah, and all. Yeah, they're Irish,
that's
like,
fair.
So...
That's fair.
Not too embarrassing, yeah, but it's the only thing I could think of.
No, it's covered, a good one. It's a good one.
It's the only thing I could think of that covered all bases of dumbest thing I've ever as a child. So I hope that answered your question, Joe. At Dave Mandana, if you were the opposite sex for one day, what would you look like and what would you do?
I can only imagine myself as the opposite sex as looking like me with like longer hair and like, you know, female genitalia.
I think no beard is essentially the only real difference.
Yeah, that would probably be it. Yeah.
My interpretation of this question was that we could like morph into whoever we wanted to be. I think. I mean, like, you didn't really explain the rules here, Dave. But judging by the question, I can choose who I look like.
Okay.
So I could be a copy of someone else.
Right.
So I could be a copy of Alison Kay if I wanted to be.
Okay.
And I could go into all the Irish promoters' offices and be like, boom, book me. And they book me. And then the real Alison Kay wakes up the next morning and she's like, well, I've got all these bookings in Ireland. What the fuck? Well, they're already there. They're already in place. I might as well go over and do some shows. Mm. That would be kind of my strategy if I had to. Or I could be a clone. That's what I was looking for. I could be a clone of Katie. So then I go in and I lose the title to Debbie or something. And then like... And she gets to the venue. It's like, what the fuck? Why am I out there? Like, you know what I mean? And she's already lost all her matches because I just went out and lost on her behalf. Yeah. That'd be really funny, actually. I might do that. If this weird scenario ever does come to reality, which it, I mean, I kind of assume and hope that it won't because that'd be really weird.
It'd be an odd thing. We had a similar question a few weeks ago where it's like, what is regular you doing?
Yeah.
Are you just laying prone in this?
No, but in this, I get it, because you're not taking over for them. They also exist, so they'd be like, what the fuck is this other person doing? Do you know what I mean? But that makes it even funnier.
So you're like fake Kane of Katie.
You're fake
Undertaker, yeah.
See, I'm glad this isn't a thing, but at least now I know that if it is, I know what to do.
You have a plan.
So thanks, Dave. That was really helpful, actually.
There you go.
At Simpsons WWE, man, should Grafton Street cop the fuck with its recent name change? So for those of you that missed it, it now calls itself... Basically, they put up their Christmas lights or whatever, and it says, welcome to Grafton Quarter. So should it cop the fuck on? Yeah, 100%. 100%. I agree with Simpsons WWE all the way. Cop the fuck on. Do you have any...
I think it's gas. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't trigger me or anything like that. Like, I think it's gas. Because, like, again, it's just like... We have about 6 quarters in Dublin. Do you know what I mean?
What's a quarter? Like, what's...
It's just a fancy way of putting things, but it's like, you know, Dublin City Council or whoever comes up with these names, they only know one word to use. we can't call it a street anymore. What do we call it? Quarter? We have fucking 5 of them, man. We have the French quarter. We have this. We have that. Oh, no. And it's like, all right, has anyone got any better ideas? Quarter it is. Let's go for lunch. You know what I mean? That's it. So I find it pretty funny.
If there was any cuntish part of town to call itself Quarter, it would be Grafton Street, I suppose. But I don't support it. I think it's Grafton Street. I mean, it'll always be Grafton Street to me. And I'd imagine everyone else. So, yeah.
Grafton Street to me, though.
Yeah, it should cop itself the fuck on. I agree. Yeah. Aina, at Brown with No. I'm going to the shop. Does anyone want anything?
No. I'm good. I'm alright.
Yeah, I always say, no, I'm alright. Because then... You
get into the whole anxiety of, like... You go to give them like €2 for a drink, and they're like, nah, you're all right. And then you're like, but now I owe you. I don't want to be in debt with you.
No, but the thing is...
That's what I do. I get stressed about
it. Yeah, I know I do as well. But it's also like, my main issue is, if someone asks me, I'm like, yeah, I want Pringles. Oh, no, actually, but now I also want a yop. No, actually, now that I'm thinking about all the stuff I can get, I want a whisper. And then I'm like...
I always go to the shop with them for that reason.
Yeah, and I end up drowning in things I want to get in the shop. And I end up, I'm like, I didn't need any of this shit. So just to cut out the pressure of deciding what I want, I just say, no, thanks, I'm all right. But I appreciate it, Aina. Thanks a lot. At T Kenny 2622, Tony Kenny, What's the most embarrassing thing that happened to you in public?
I mean, that's what I meant to say. No, it's not actually.
Has there ever been anything embarrassing that happened to you, Rick?
That's actually not my most embarrassing moment.
Fuck off.
and a lot of people who are listening were there for my most embarrassing moment.
Really?
Yeah, the pride speech. No, I'm only messing. It's not that. But no, it's something else. It's the, what is it? Royal Rumble 2017. Like in Woolshed.
Oh, yeah. that's pretty fucking awful.
That's genuinely like, you know, it turned out grand. Like, look, we ended up in a better venue or whatnot, so it turned out grand. But like, so I don't view it as traumatizing. But like, as a moment, in the moment, it was literally traumatizing. It was like my entire business just blew up in my face. And like
in front of everyone,
500 people. I sold out the first ever Royal Rumble. We sold out. Like, just standing there, I know where I'm sitting because everyone knows me at the party. They know I'm sitting at the very front. They all just turn and look and heave at me. And I've no kind of like move. It's not my, I can't like, I don't own the venue. I can't change the circumstances.
You know what you do there? You turn and be like, ha! Gotchas! It was a prank. This is meant to happen. You saw got fucked over.
You got punked. Ashton, am I right? I'm just going to go get Ashton. Leave me alone. Don't follow me.
I have never taken into account how horrible that must have been.
Like, literally everyone turned around and is staring at me. Now, don't get me wrong. There was nice moments because, like, outside, like, kind of the proper loyalist, like, because, like, you genuinely had a near riot. Think about how drunk everyone is at that stage of the night as well. There's 500 of them. You're getting a mob kind of scenario at the end of the Royal Rumble as well. Like, if it had happened during like a fucking random fucking Big Show or Randy Orton match or whatever, like, they're like, whatever, it happened, it's shit, but it happened. But because they were like at that like end of Royal Rumble stage where they have that energy, they're like ready to fucking kill. So like, but it was nice because you had like literally people made a circle around me and walked me through town, which was like, this is sweet. Like, you know what I mean, I made fucking real friends here. Like, there's people actually protecting me here. But like, I was also in a situation where I needed people to protect me. So like, there was that too. But yeah, no, easily that. Easily. Because like, and it was just shit because there was nothing I could do. Like, yeah.
I can't really think of anything overly embarrassing, but if we're on terms of wrestling, probably where it's like, hey, Corporate King's going to book us the show, we're out of business. Like, that has to be up there.
That's just funny though. Yeah, you know why? Because it's not ours.
But yeah, but it was also like a legit kind of shit thing, but it's also like, that is, yeah, it's funny. Like, that's what I mean. It's funny in a way.
Brilliant story. Like, it's a brilliant story.
The other thing, again, courage related, where I'm like, don't call him Neville. Don't call him Neville. On none of my views, the most amount of views I've ever gotten a video, 7,000. This has over 100,000 views on YouTube, and it's, and like half the comments are just, look at Nev Pack. Nev Pack. Like, yeah, I know. You're funny. Oh,
shit, man.
But like, over the embarrassing shit in public. Just, I don't know, like, there's probably loads I just can't, like, think off the top of my head, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if there was something really that embarrassing that I couldn't even think of, I would have talked about it on a podcast.
That's fair, yeah. Yeah.
But fair. I think your whole business going up in flames in front of you while everybody turns around and is like, what the fuck?
No, here's the thing, though, as well, like, I'm kind of old enough that, like, I don't kind of, like, you know, get negative about that shit, because I'm like, that's a fucking, like, I love that
it's a story.
But then there was the whole comeback, because then there was like, find a new venue, and then like within a week we had a new venue and we announced it on like social media and stuff like that, and then we had the band, like, they were just, we'd announced publicly that we were doing a band and we were practicing for a gig that we didn't know what happened then, and then like when it all ended up paying off kind of at Mania, where we like had a full house in Buskers at the next big party we did, like, you know what I mean? So there's a whole arc there. So ultimately my life was much better for having that happen, because like, it's a fucking cool story. Like, again, it's one of those I'm like, that's a real thing and that happened in my life, so like, I don't mind it, but like, that moment alone, traumatic. Like, if I didn't have all the positive stuff afterwards, it'd be fucking traumatic. Like,
but that turned out to be a better question than I thought. Yeah, thanks for the question, Tony. At Kento CCFC, if you had to lose one, which would you be able to cope without? Touch, smell, taste, sound, or sight? I have a question about... So, obviously, sight and sound, is that what I'm thinking? Yeah, hearing, yeah. Those are the... Like, you can't lose them, right? Yeah. So, they're like... They're ruled out straight away. Yeah. You can't sacrifice them. The reason this question confused me is because what would it be like to lose the sense of touch?
Yeah,
that's... How do you not touch something? Like, I'm touching something. Like, would I...
But I don't have a sensation. Like, yeah, like, ultimately then I'm not in pain as well. You know what I mean? So I think that, like, I think taste is the default answer to this, but I don't think...
Fuck no! The thing for me is...
Pringles.
Yeah, and also... Then this is where it really confused me. How do you lose your sense of smell without losing your sense of taste? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I could keep my taste and lose my smell, that's the one I'd go with. But is that possible? I don't know. And when you say lose your sense of smell, you don't have a cold, by the way. Do you mean you have a cold or that you can breathe fine, you just can't smell?
No, you can't smell.
So, but you can still breathe. Like, it's not like you have a cold.
Yeah. It's just that the smell is gone. There's no smell.
That's... Honestly,
it's not bad. Like, what massive positives does smell bring to what I can't think of one, like...
You'd know that if your house is gone on fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I can't think of one, like, actual, like... I can think of happy memories I have. You know what I mean? Things I've seen, things I've heard, podcasts I've listened to, or, like, music that I love. Touch, like, yeah, you can get, like, there's happy touches as well. Like, taste, fucking food that
yeah,
I love.
Yeah, taste is important.
Smell, I can't think of, like, one epic moment where I'm like, man, the fucking smell, man. The fucking smell, amazing. You had to be there. You had to smell it. You had to smell it.
Touch and smell, for me, are, like, the bottom two, but I think touch, not being able... Like, not having a sense of touch is something I don't really understand how that would play out. But I feel like if I experienced it, I'd be like, fuck this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it was pins and needles or something horrible like that, that you didn't really expect it would be. So, yeah, I'm going to go with smell, but on the assumption that you can still taste, and if you can't, then touch.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my answer. Yeah. That's a solid answer. Yeah. But it was also a good question. Thanks, Kento. @Brendan_K12. Is it right that certain wrestling journalists seem to have an agenda when it comes to the way they report about WWE in particular? This is a very leading question.
Yeah, this is more so a statement.
Yeah. This is like if I was to say to you, do you think it's right that cute little puppies should be locked up in zoos all day, every day? Do you think that's right, Rick?
No. A loaner question there would be like, when we murder cute little puppies, would you rather we stab them or shot them?
Yeah, let's go. We have to go to the premise there. I assume you're talking about Ryan Satin and how like he's got a job in WWE and he reports with WWE and how he's not going to be honest because he's working with them and he'll probably find it too awkward to like criticize them and stuff. Which
I took it as more like Dave Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer is the exact same with AEW, but Ryan Satin, WWE, Dave Meltzer, AEW, whatever you want to call it. I don't really care about wrestling journalism, you know what I mean? Like, anytime I read a news story when it comes to wrestling, I assume it's like, I read it for entertainment purposes. Like, if I hear about a bust up backstage, I assume it's fictional. Yeah. And I'm not saying it is fictional, but I assume it's fictional and I enjoy it for the entertainment that it is, as opposed to taking it as fact. It shouldn't be taking wrestling journalism too seriously. You know what I mean? The only wrestling journalists I really know are Satin, Meltzer.
Sean
Ross Sapp.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the only journalist that, as of this date, and I'm saying this because he could let me down at any minute, 73% charge. Let me try that again. The date is normally 13th of November. There we go. As of the 13th of November, 2019, I think he's all right. Like, he seems like the most likable. Like, he's not real. There's no arrogance that comes with him. Now, I'm not going to follow him because wrestling journalists flood your timeline. Yeah. But I don't see an ego there, is what I'm saying. Whereas other journalists are like, I'm the journalist, man.
Yeah, I know people, that kind of thing.
He's no Peter Carnivals, but he's decent.
Peter Carnivals is the best.
And I know that Brad Shepherd is like the worst, but they're all Brad Shepherd to me. You know what I mean? I'm not saying none of them know anything about the inside of the wrestling world, but like, for the most part, I assume they're wrong and work backwards.
Have you noticed like a difference, right? And this is like a good kind of case study because it'll kind of like, I think, because you've got kind of a, like, you now work inside of it, but have you noticed, but it's still very fresh, so like, you're still like, you've still got your fandom part, but you also work inside, so you could see both perspectives. Have you kind of noticed the difference in wrestling journalism and how you read stories, and can you tell, like, that's not how it works? Now that you've kind of got a taste of inside now, like...
Always. Like, you'll hear, just locally, there'll be, like, an incident backstage that's, like, next to nothing, but it's something you'd gossip about for a laugh, do you know what I mean, after the show, whatever. But then, you know, fans hear it and turn it into like a bigger thing than it is, and journalists will hear it, and they'll, you know what I mean? Because again, like, they're hearing it from somebody who heard it from someone, you know what I mean? It's not like, this is the thing, you can kind of piece it together yourself, even if you don't work for wrestling promotion, you know what I mean? You can kind of just, it's more of a general thing. It's kind of like, you just have to piece it together from multiple sides. Don't just take it from one and go, right, that's it.
Yeah. People put it like, that was one of the things that struck me as well by when I got into it. And I still remember that feeling because, like, I used to work on a lot of websites before I got into wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have been a journalist type, but I would have written a lot and, like, been an insider and all that shit. But, like, it was the one thing that got me where it's like, oh, it's just not like that at all. Like, these people are normal people. There is no backstage. There's a room for all the lads sitting and have to cry. Like you do with your mates, you know what I mean? It's like that. That's not backstage. There's no kind of like, in terms of politics, it's not a thing. Like, it's not a thing. There are elements of it where people are like, you know, trying to get like stuff for themselves and stuff like that. But it's not like, the politics, it's not like we're in a politic over here.
It's not like,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Imagine walking into like Fight Factory and it's like, what are you doing? Oh, we're just politicking over it. It's like, oh, okay, sorry, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, it's not like that. Like,
is it right? No. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not right, but I don't really care either. I think people invest too much into these journalists, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I don't expect Dave Meltzer to rip into AEW because it's like, would I ever rip into like Fight Factory or Phoenix?
Yeah.
No, because I feel like, it's not even like, because you work for him, because you feel like once... Like, I'd imagine Meltzer kind of feels part of the AEW team in a way. You know what I mean? They're kind of like your friends. You know what I mean?
You believe it too as well. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The thing. Like, these are your mates and you want to see them do well. Like, so it's not like you buy into their shit because they're your friends. And you're supporting them too. Like, so, like, you are conflicted. But also, like, again, then the problem comes with Meltzer where it's like, you know, you're also, he's still trying to sell himself as unbiased. They were like... Well, we can now see that. We now know how, like, we've seen the cracks in you, so I think that's where the problems come in. But, like, yeah, like, he probably genuinely believes a lot of the stuff of what he says, but now he is tainted by being co-opted, like.
Hang on, how the fuck is Ryan Satin going to sell himself as a journalist? He's working for WWE.
Yeah, it's a tough
thing.
But,
like,
this is the thing, like, this is what, like, a lot of, like, that's probably the culmination of his goal. Like, he probably got into journalism to get a job with WWE, like, and somehow it's just worked out, like.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I'd say, like, oh, it's not right, but... I mean, who cares? I mean, he got his dream job, so I don't blame him. You know what I mean?
Also, like, as well, like, what, like, if anyone is going to turn around and criticize him and say that you wouldn't take that job, I'm not going to believe
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm
you
not
well
gonna believe
would,
it.
Like,
so,
yeah.
Like, if you're not going to, like, you would take that job. If WWE came to you, like, not you, Brendan. Well, like, let's just use Brendan as an example because he asked a question. But not you. This isn't about you, Brendan. But, like, if they came to Brendan and they're like, do you want to work on backstage and hang out with, like, Renee Young and Booker T and Christian and be, like, a peer and a mate with them? And we're going to give you loads of money and you're going to be on TV every week. He's gonna take that. Everyone would. So, like, that's what Ryan Satin's doing. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that everyone knows they take it and they're jealous. And that's it. And, like, they can do the dance and they're like, no, I care about journalistic integrity. And it's like, yeah, you're jealous. No, actually, I'm gonna... And they can, like, put together multi-syllabic sentences where they're using big words to try to show how they actually care about the integrity. And it's like, at the end of it, it's like... Yeah, but you're jealous. Because you would still take it. No matter how much of a smart mark you are, you would still take that job if you were him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's wrestling journalism is something I'm just not passionate about, really. Like, I know a bit about it, but I'm not. It's not something I'd be like, I can't believe he's done this or done that. If a wrestling journalist tomorrow wants to, you know, sell out or whatever you want to call it and take a job with WWE, yeah, fair fucks to them because they managed to get in WWE exactly. Without taking a single fucking bump or any shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, fair play to them. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, thanks for the question, though, Brendan. It's a thought-provoking one. At Clueless Nerd, is it just me or are WWE themes sounding very generic in recent years? Example, I think Seth Rollins' theme is something you'd give a creative wrestler in a game. They don't seem to have the same wow factor as old themes. For me, I'd say yeah. I think some of them are good and some of them aren't. Like, I don't know who makes what, so it's not. I'm not saying this as like, you know, oh, I hate this person or that person. I think everyone makes their good songs and their shitter songs, but for me... Lately, like, the 30-second loop thing, once somebody pointed out to me that a lot of these themes are the same 30 seconds over and over again, I was kind of like, oh, now I can't unhear that, do you know what I mean? Like, but Tommaso Ciampa is a fucking banger, for example. I love that, you know what I mean? I love, do you ever hear Marwan Allo's End of the Line?
haven't heard Marinello as a DJ.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And I heard on Spotify. It's really good. It's really good. It's like
why does he have a class theme song? Where there's so many wrestlers with bad theme songs. And this guy who like just talks.
But weirdly enough, it's not even that. It's not a good theme. Like, it's not a good wrestler theme song though. It's just a good song. Like, it's a good song. I could imagine him playing it for like a pay per view or something like that.
Right.
You know what I
mean? You'd actually listen to it.
Yeah. But we could spend time pointing out all like the good. There are like loads of good theme songs as well. Do you know what I mean? But like. Yeah, when I think of bad WWE themes, I think all the Shield lads got awful theme songs. I think Dean Ambrose is hands down the worst WWE theme song possibly ever. Yeah. but certainly in recent memory. And the best part about John Moxley now being the thing is I don't have to hear it ever again. Or at least not for a long time, you know what I mean? So, I agree, personally. I think Seth Rollins doesn't have a good theme. Mm. What do you think? Or
we were just having a similar conversation before we went on air. We're like, because for some reason the shit Big Show theme was stuck in my head.
Oh yeah.
Where's the Big Show that did it? That one. And then it's like, why don't they just go back to it? I think Jim Johnson got teams. Like, I'm not saying anything against the folks because they've come up with some absolute bangers throughout the years. You know what I mean? Like Sami Zayn's and stuff like that. Fandangos and like all those kind of songs. Like,
yeah, that's true.
They're catchy as fuck.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I agree. I also think, but there are a lot of good songs as well. But I do, for the most part, agree.
Yeah, like, but Jim Johnson, like, you know, I think he got it where it's like you just come up with a catchy, something really fucking catchy that sticks in people's head. Like Big Show, like he only used that team for a few years, but like as soon as like if I walked into work tomorrow, because wrestling was so popular back in the day, but I walked into work tomorrow and just shouted, "Well," then half the fucking floor would shout, "Where is the Big Show?" You know what I mean? People like,
well, I think they'd probably look at you and go, "You're a bit what is
well." the other half would do that.
I do that. I'm a wrestling fan.
But you'd think it. Yeah. You'd know it. It'd be in your head. And Jim Johnson got kind of the concept of an earworm where it's like it just gets stuck in you. I think a lot of the newer stuff, like especially nowadays, it sounds very produced. You know what I mean? Like you can barely even hear like kind of like the prime the Street Profits. Like what is it? Bring the Swag. Like it's just very like.
That's, do you know, that's the same theme song as Team Bad, but they just changed the lyrics.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's shit. Because it actually like does suit them to a degree, but it's also like it's very like manufactured. It makes it's like Disney kind of, you know when like Disney do shows about like, you know, rock, here's a rock band star, and then like you have them perform a song on stage just like, I like rock and roll, and then it's just like, oh, it's so produced, it's so cringe. Like that's I think a lot of theme songs these days in WWE. And yeah, do you know what I want to see? This is completely unrelated, but I want to see an AEW Spotify playlist, because they've got some absolute tunes as theme songs. Cody's song, Hangman Page's song, I love Hangman Page's theme song.
I can't picture or like whatever the audio version of picture is, I can't sound any AEW themes. I just can't think of them.
Hangman Page is like
that hasn't helped at all. Please stop.
Pax is also a banger. They have some good songs, and this is the thing, you'd know it if you got to listen to it on Spotify.
Is Pax
Cody's, you know?
Yeah, I know Cody's. Wait, is Pax the same one he does uses outside of AEW?
Well, I don't know actually,
because the one he uses in like OTT and stuff is deadly. I love
that. Could be.
Yes, but Matt, I don't know.
Judas tune.
Yeah,
banger.
Yeah,
I love White Mark whenever that comes on.
Again, lots to think about there. Thanks for the question, man.
Sorry, I took a complete.
Butch at Butch_OTT. If you didn't know that already, sent in a question. I'm a celebrity who's back this weekend. I want to know which wrestlers you'd like to see in the jungle.
I'd watch John Cena on any reality TV show after Total Divas. He's a fucking psychopath. I want to watch him so much. I want to see him break. I want to see the facade drop. I love the facade around psychopaths where it's like they're really narcissistic and they're good at putting up a front because they know how to mimic how like sound people act. And like, so Cena I'd watch on any reality TV show because eventually they have to show their true colours and I want cameras there when he does. And I'm a Celebrity will push him to the fucking... Do you remember, like, you know, when Bree's dog bit him and he's like, we need to kill the dog.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And he just, like, he was inconvenienced and something happened that he didn't expect that and he immediately turns to murder. And it's just like, I want more of that. I want to, like, I want to put him in positions where, like, he has to eat a spider. And he's like, I will straight up murder everyone in this room. And then it's just like, oh shit, there he is. So I want to see Cena on every reality TV show. The more we can push his buttons and show the world he's a psychopath, the happier I am.
Yeah, and who's controversial in wrestling? I'd like to see Jungle Boy go in. Just because, like, if he goes in and he's really shit at it and he comes out and he's crying because a spider landed on him, it's like, you're not Jungle Boy, you're a lion sack of shit. I don't know why, I just think that'd be funny. I can't think of anyone controversial or, like, you know, there's a problem with wrestling, that there's a lot. Like, if this is like an MMA podcast, something like that, you know what I mean? You could narrow it down easily and be like, oh, this person's charismatic and this person's charismatic, or this person would be really interesting. Whereas wrestling's full of personalities and it's full of characters. So there's so many, do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to be Eric Rowan, Allison Kay. Although that is technically my answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Eddie Kingston, right? Unreal promo was very charismatic, but I feel like he'd just be like a regular sound lad in the background. Yeah. I don't think he'd be like overly crazy. You know what I mean? He'd just be kind of grand.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's kind of, there's a lot. It's hard to really think about. But good question, though. thanks, Butch. At Killer Steve W. What is your favorite random wrestler cameo in films or TV? Mine is Hogan in Muppets in Space and Goldberg in Looney Tunes Back in Action.
That's why Big Show is in my head. My answer for this is Big Show and Jingle All the Way. That's why I was thinking of a song. Oh, it's all coming together in a nice little package.
Yeah.
Big Show and Jingle All the Way. He plays a crazy Santa Claus and gets in a fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's class. And he doesn't announce. Like, it's just, like, if you recognize Big Show, you'll notice his eyes behind the suit. And you're like, holy shit. I love that shit.
I can't think of any cameos. I know there was definitely one or two growing up watching like some Nickelodeon stuff, but I just can't fucking think of any off the top of my head. I'm going to just answer a different question that relates very loosely to your question, just so I can say I answered it even though I didn't. Wrestling movie, like, not wrestling movies, but movies with wrestlers like in them. I know it's not a cameo, but it's like the main character. I love The Condemned. The Condemned is like, I love Battle Royale type shit. That's a movie. I watched that movie.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one.
Is it, or was that just like something I liked when
I was
younger?
No, it was a really good movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was like, younger when I watched it, so if I was to watch it now, would it have aged well? Possibly.
It never like pretends to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a pure like popcorn movie where it's like, we're just here to entertain.
Actually, if we're talking cameos, okay, Austin was the main character, but Nathan Jones was in that. Nathan fucking Jones. That's the last time we saw Nathan Jones. He's getting thrown off a cliff.
He is, yeah. I think that was a shoot, like. What
Nathan
happened?
Jones died in kayfabe. That is mad.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nathan Jones and The Condemned, if we're going to count that. thanks for the question, killer. at Brynomaniac, Rick mentioned how AEW should just use, is it Joshi or Yoshi? Joshi.
I call him Joshi.
Yeah. Well, probably it's probably Joshi or something, but
I think it is Joshi.
Why first saying Joshi?
Yeah, because Yoshi is how you say Yoshi. Like, why would Jay make it completely change?
Because it's a different language.
Yeah, but they say Yoshi.
Do they?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
We're going with Joshi.
Well, I'm going to go with Joshi.
It's a more fun way to say it. Yeah. Joshi's like, oh, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Joshi's like, this is mine.
Yeah. What the fuck? I actually agree. Yeah. So I'm going to say Joshi. Are there any Joshi wrestlers that come to mind that AEW should use?
No, like, this is kind of the point. I'm not into Joshi. Like, not that I'm not into it. I just haven't made time to watch it.
Bit sexy. Sorry, I'll stop.
That's last week, man.
That was last week.
Right, but no, like, this is my point where I don't get much of a chance to watch Stardom and stuff like that, so AEW would be my outlet for that, and it really excited me, so I'd like to see more. I want to see this entire world played out, like, because they have an open goal here to show something that people like me and American audiences who aren't into Stardom and whatnot can get an outlet for this, because the only people I know are the people you know that are signed, like Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, that kind of stuff. Sesshima. She's a Joshi.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, so there you go. I'd love to see her. I think she would be great with her AEW as well. But, like, yeah, no, that's the point. I don't know that many, and I want to know more, and AEW is my window into it. And instead of giving me fucking Britt Baker, they can just, like, bring over all these crazy, like, fucking talented women from Stardom.
Yeah, you're only saying, like, she's my draft pick. Britt Baker's deadly. Don't mind Rick. She's deadly. So, my answer, because, you know, I'm a hardcore Stardom fan, excuse you. Actually, it is all my promotions that I want to watch. There's, like, a few. There's, like, GCW Stardom. There's kind of, like, a handful I want to get into.
It'd be on New Japan World now as well, I think, because New Japan bought them.
Oh, so now would be a good time to kind of like...
It could be. I don't know. That's not announced. So that's not me breaking news.
No, but I mean, by
anything,
the time I finish binging The Ultimate Fighter, which for those of you who don't realize, that's the path I'm on right now. By the time I finish that, then it might be on Neutral.
Fingers crossed.
You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mine, I'm going to say Miyagi. I don't know what her first name is, but Nicola's like a hard, big into the stardom. So I was like, just to act as if I know what I'm talking about, just to contribute to the conversation, I decided to look up the roster like ages ago. But it's back when they were doing their Grand Prix thing, their G1 basically. Miyagi is the one I remember because she's the daughter of Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid. She's not actually, but that's who I remember the name.
Nice.
She might be, I don't know. I can't remember her first name. But she also, I don't know. That's my pick. That's my stardom. That's my stardom, Eric Rowan. There's also a wrestler called Azumi, I think.
Right.
I thought it was AZM, and then Nicola was like, it's Azumi. And I was like, all right, fine. Azumi then. So I'm going to assume Miyagi and Azumi are very good.
I'd say Nicola's going to love that.
I'm going to assume that they're both good.
Yeah.
So okay. Them. The one Nicola's mad about, I called her Asian Creed because she looked like Raven Creed, but she was Asian.
No, that's a nice name.
I forget her name now. So her?
Asian Creed.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, not Hikaru. That's the one in AEW. Hazumi? Is that it? Is that her Hazumi? Just nod your head so it looks like...
Yeah.
She's now feeling confident because he said yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to say Hazumi, I'm going to say Miyagi, and I'm going to say Hazumi.
Asian Creed.
That's Hazumi.
All right, fair enough.
I think. Say yeah again.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you see, now I'm confident. As long as I have one person to back me up, I'm a lot more confident. Thanks for the question. Oh, this is a deadly question. Right, Declan is coming in with a football question. Lads, like, on one hand, I was like, right, this is the great... I should have asked this earlier. Now would be a good time to ask football questions because Katie's not here and Katie's not a football person. But then I realised, fuck Katie, man. Right, I get asked movie questions every single week and I've never watched a movie besides The Condemned and, like, The Inbetweeners. So, like... I mean, I don't see why you can't ask football questions if you're into it.
Ask us anything.
Yeah, but, like, football would be, like, one of the better ones. So, in advance, Declan, thanks for the question. Out of every footballer available, pick a five-a-side team. Mine would be Connor Kearns, Greg Bulger, Katie McCabe, Leanne Kiernan, and Aaron Green. And do you know what? Just to be serious for a sec, right? I know, like, I do laugh at Declan's questions because they're funny as fuck. But I respect how he supports the League of Ireland, right? And the Irish women's team. Two things that, like, don't get enough support in football. Do you know what I mean? Especially from Irish fans. So, look, Messi might come in and smack that team around, but I respect that you've gone with your heart over your head. Do you know what I mean? Like, heard up, maybe Messi's shit five-a-side. Maybe Conor Kearns has... Maybe he's the anecdote. Is that the word? No, that's not anecdote. That's a personal story. What's the word? What's the word? Is it kryptonite?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
that's what I meant. That's like when I say big words in college essays, sound smart. I'm feeling proper anecdote.
Maybe he's the anecdote for all of this. The antidote.
Maybe
you were thinking the antidote.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Maybe
I'm
the photosynthesis of humanity. But in my opinion, fuck the haters. That's a solid team, Declan. You see, I'm kind of in the same boat as Declan here. I'm like, I've got my favourites. Fuck the Messis and Ronaldos of this world. I've got my favourites. David McGoldrick is my favourite. If David McGoldrick walked in now, I'd slap him on his big bald head, but in an affectionate way, not in a hateful way. It'd be more like, I love you and thanks for scoring that equaliser against Switzerland. I hope you do bits against Denmark. Will that have happened by the time this comes out? No?
No.
New Zealand will. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
But yesterday.
Yeah. I think David McGoldrick will... I think he's going to get us to the Euros, genuinely. I think he's got the heart, he's got the character, he's got, like, Ireland, like, look, when you look at Scotland should, like, if we're on the verge of qualifying for a tournament, Scotland should be, like, way ahead of us. But they're not, because they don't, like, they might have more skill and more talent than us, but we've got the David McGoldricks, you know what I mean? The heart, the, like, character. It's why I love James McClane, even though he's shite, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I'd go with, who would I go with? Yeah, that's a good one. McGoldrick is 100% who I'd go with. I look at career mode. So, I play career mode a lot.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I got Port Vale into Europe. And the ones that did that for me were Tom Pope and Gavin Gunning. And every time I walk past Gunning's corner shop in Monkstown, I think of that centre-back, Gavin Gunning, who rocks, despite being in his 30s at this stage in the game, he was rock fucking solid. No one could get past him. And he's the reason I got into Europe with fucking Port Vale. It wasn't even through the Leagues. We won the FA Cup, like, it was
nice.
Mad. But yeah, so Gavin Gunning got spot in there. Tom Pope versus he scored a Boise once in career mode. Single
unreal,
player.
Man. Unreal.
We can't do fictional players. That's cheating. I had a centre back in pro club score a Boise that got us promoted. Right. And he's like really shit, but he just did that one really cool thing. I'm like, will I put him in? No, because I forget his name. So fuck it. Who would you put in?
I'm going to go for it. You've got me thinking with career mode, so I'm going to go for a mixture of players I like in career mode and also 90s football players that are like.
Oh, yeah.
So
good.
I'm going to go for Eric Cantona. I'm going to go for Andre Kanchelskis. I'm going to go for Roberto Carlos. I'm going to go for. And then, my career mode choices are Sandro Tonali and Takefusa Kubo. So there you go.
Oh, do you know, I'd fucking throw in Akinfenwa all day if we're doing a five-a-side. He's a fucking tank. You know Akinfenwa, don't you?
No.
You've never seen Adebayo Akinfenwa, is that it? No. Basically, he's the strongest footballer in the world.
Okay.
He's built like a fucking NFL player, do you know what I mean? And that was always the thing in FIFA, he had 99 strength. His other stats were League 2 level, they were kind of just... They were there, but his strength was just unreal. So if we're doing five-a-side on Astro, where you're trying to get the ball off him and stuff, Akinfenwa's probably in there. I don't know who else. So McGoldrick, that's pick a keeper, don't they? I'm gonna go with Gabor Kereli from Crystal Palace a few years ago because he had those sick tracksuit bombs he used to always wear. I think they were really cool. So if he wears them, he's in.
You can go John O'Shea and get an outfielder as well because he played in goals once.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna stick with Kereli. I'm confident. Right. I'm confident in the tracksuit bombs. Fair. I really liked Andy Johnson, who played for Palace and Birmingham and stuff.
He was a good player.
No, he didn't play for Birmingham, did he? No, I'm getting mixed up. But Andy Johnson, he played for Fulham. You know the one I'm on about.
Yeah. Poor lad.
Wait,
be quiet. Just go. Don't bitch bear anymore. All right?
Hi.
Hi, how are you? We do this every time Katie comes in. This is
Katie's here to ruin the fun. We were
oh, we're having a lad's moment.
Three questions.
We're talking about FIFA and football.
Your football related question's been cancelled because Katie's come in and fucking ruined it for everyone. I'm going to ask it while you're here. Fuck it. Who would be in your five-a-side? If you were to make out of all the football, do you know five footballers?
Company.
Oh, he'd
be my captain.
Do
they have to be current?
It can be anyone you want.
He said
any footballer ever.
Jamie Redknapp.
Right.
Steven Gerrard. David Seaman. No, and David Ginola, because he's got grey hair. Is that five?
She actually came in and she had a keeper as well. That's
a fucking solid team. Yeah, All right,
she came up with one, on the spot, taking her jacket off. He's at 10 minutes and he hasn't been able to come back to four.
Do you know what? Right, I'm going to go with McGoldrick. McGoldrick's the only one I'm nailed on with, right? McGoldrick, and then I'm going to go with Shamrock Rovers players from the past that Declan might know. Stephen Rice, right? On FIFA 09, I couldn't score free kicks. You could give me Ronaldo, you could give me Beckham, couldn't score them. No, for... I don't know why. I took a free kick with Stephen Rice out of nowhere, went straight in. And every time I took a free kick with Stephen Rice, I scored. So I'm going to go with Stephen Rice. I'm going to go with, what are Shamrock Rovers players? Gary Twigg. There you go, Declan. That's the
name.
You
have about eight footballers in this five-a-side team.
No, I've taken out Akinfenwa. I've taken out,
Okay.
So we're going to go Stephen Rice. We're going to go Gary Twigg, David McGoldrick. Oh, the keeper. Who did I say? Gabor Kereli.
Of course.
Would I go Andy Johnson? I'm putting a lot of effort
Andy
into this.
Andy Johnson is not a good footballer.
He's wrong. So
I only know the ones that have cool girlfriends or nice coats.
David Ginola is a strong pick. his coat game is strong.
That's why Mourinho was my favourite manager for a long, long time.
Oh, actually, if we're talking hair.
We're not talking hair. I think that
we're talking about coats.
Andrea Pirlo.
That's a solid hair show. And also coats as well.
Pirlo is a slick hunt. I love Pirlo.
I'd imagine he's a fine selection of coats.
Oh, bollocks, I have to take it Andy Johnson then.
Did I derail this by coming in?
Yeah.
It wasn't on a rail.
Look, I've named a load of players. Take any of those five and put them in. There you go. But I imagine you're going to pick Gary Twigg, Declan.
Oh my God, what a time. Your timing was actually spot on. Because
I
read this question and I'm like, this is useless without Katie.
Yeah, I was ready to rip into Sean for asking this because I was like, you know, Katie's not here. We advertise this as Katie's not here, but Katie is.
I would never disappoint Sean like that.
Oh, really?
That's why I'm here.
Okay, fine. Rank the following: Emilio Estevez.
Oh, I looked at this question. Love Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, he's my favorite man. He's so good. It's just a banger of a director. In order of worst to best.
He's a banger of a director. You don't describe people as bangers. Well, unless they're too old to play for their football team.
But yeah, it's The Breakfast Club, The Mighty Ducks, and The Mighty Ducks 2. I'm going to go personally. I'll go first because yeah, I'm the movie expert here. Breakfast is personally my favourite meal of the day because you can have Shreddies, Cocoa Pops, there's loads of really good cereals. Whereas, like, you can't really have them for dinner. It kind of gets frowned upon. Yeah. So if you were to do a club about that, do you know what I mean? I'd say that'd be solid. So I'm going to go with number one. Sequels don't tend to be as good as the first one, but then this could have surprised me because they're about ducks that are mighty and mighty. Like, that's... Like, ducks are pretty cool, the way they quack and all that. So, the fact that he had the balls to go out and make a second one puts it up there for me, but I wouldn't put it ahead of The Breakfast Club. So, I'm going to go Breakfast Club, Mighty Ducks 2, and Mighty Ducks 1 from best to worst. Okay. But that's just for me.
Okay. None of these are in my top Emilio Estevez films.
Okay.
Yeah, me neither. I was just saying like that.
My all-time favourite is St. Elmo's Fire. I don't know if you've seen that. It's got Rob Lowe playing a saxophone. It's amazing.
Okay.
I do like Breakfast Club, so that slots in number 2.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever seen Young Guns. It's a western and it is shite, but I love it. And Young Guns 2, also shite, but I love it. And Bon Jovi wrote the soundtrack, so it's deadly.
Nice.
Then the Mighty Ducks films, and also The Outsiders, because it's based on my favourite book of all time. And it's
Kevin
really
Nash and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
I was big into that.
It's
one of my
proper
ones.
Cool movie. It's about like gangs in the 50s, and it's got fucking everyone. It's got Patrick Swayze, it's got Tom Cruise, it's got Matt Dillon. It's brilliant.
Nice.
I love Emilio Estevez. I'm going to watch one of his films tonight.
My only Emilio Estevez movie that I'm into. Well, Mighty Ducks is cool. I haven't seen it in years. I might rewatch. No, I don't think it'd hold up. I think I need to save that for when I have kids and, like, I want to give them something. You know what I mean? Like, because then I think I'll enjoy it through that lens, but not, like, watching it as normal. Night at the Roxbury. Emilio!
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's my Emilio Estevez.
I didn't forget. I was waiting for you to say that. I was like, right on the money.
Emilio!
Emilio Estevez is Charlie Sheen's brother and Martin Sheen's...
Yeah. My dad once had lunch with Martin Sheen. Fun fact.
Really?
Yeah. He was working. He was like, this is when he used to fix windscreens. He was like, there's some...
Martin Sheen?
No, my dad fixed windscreen. Martin Sheen's an actor. Martin Sheen's an actor.
Sheen fixed Keith's dad's windscreen.
But basically, there was something wrong with a windscreen on the set, so they were called in.
How did you make that jump?
maybe, I don't know, Keith's dad was broken down and Martin Sheen was driving by and, you know, maybe he has a history.
Why would you assume that dynamic in that relationship? The Martin Sheen was the one fixing his windshield.
I just went there, okay? He seems like a lovely man.
Well, I mean, apparently he was. My dad says he was sound, so I'll take his word for it. But no, he's an actor. So he's pretty good, apparently.
He's in the West Wing. He's deadly.
So thanks, Sean. Thanks for putting me into that where I had to pretend I knew what I was talking about. But now we can go back to wrestling because at Neil Sedge asks, with Dixie Carter popping up in Ant and Dex Family Tree, when was the last time wrestling surprised you by popping up in the most unexpected of places?
Oh, I really wish I had bothered to prep any of these.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be here.
I can't think of one for
this. Well, there's only two because you're late, so it's fine.
I can't think of one for this.
I'm sure like it's happened loads of times. Like, I don't know, there's a director called Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
Apparently he's a mad wrestling fan and he's now releasing a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that's mental.
Yeah.
If any situation of wrestling pops up and you don't expect it, I had to do this fucking horrible subject in college last year called Critical Theory, where we had to learn all these fucking theorists and shit. And one of them was Roland Barthes, and apparently he wrote an article about wrestling, and I went, whoa, wrestling. And then that was that.
I was helping out some students today for a college documentary and we got talking about wrestling and she goes, do you know someone called Red Vinny? And I was like, heard of him, never actually met him. And she's like, I work with him and I think he used to wrestle. And I was like, such a small world.
It's mad how she only thinks that, like, she knows him as Red Vinny. But she's like, I think that's a wrestling thing.
Well, so it's like, you know, you
ask questions like...
No, it's just that's just his birth cert, like first name Red. Yeah.
I love, like, yeah, I think I spoke about this before. Second Captains, they do wrestling things every now and then. And it's a podcast I listen to independently. I love, like, listening to podcasts that have nothing to do with wrestling. And then, like, people that I already like and I'm invested in, when they talk about it. And I'm like, what's your perspective? But it's like, it's a tense moment because it's like, this could go either way. This could go either way. If you're like, oh, the fake shit, like, then I'm like, all right, we have issues now. All right, you've damaged damaged their relationship. Like,
it always pops up on Impractical Jokers, one of my all-time favourite shows.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, because two of them are mad fans. And they even had a challenge one day where one of them had to dress up and wrestle Tommy Dreamer. Mm. Like, and it was he didn't know he was on the wrestling show. And they literally, like, Tommy Dreamer was just calling it on the fly to him and beating the shit out of him.
Nice.
Is second captain's one of Richie Sadler?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's on it. Okay. Yeah. So that sounds interesting.
There you go.
But yeah, thanks for the question. At Irish Slam Slam San? Irish Slam Zan.
Irish Slam Dan.
Yeah, no.
Well, you spelt it wrong, so.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh, shit, sorry.
At,
this is the question. Oh, this is the question. I don't know if you've seen my tweet earlier, right? Oh, no, you did. You replied.
Did
yeah, so I'm apartment hunting at the moment. This is the question. I'm apartment hunting at the moment. And, like, so I have, like, a copy and paste application there just saying to any apartments I like. And I'm also prepping Ask Low Blows. And I sent this question to someone without thinking, because I'm just literally like copy paste send, copy paste send, copy paste send, and I sent this question to someone while applying for an apartment today. So someone has this question in their inbox.
But you know why I said earlier, like, I want it to be Declan's question, because imagine you're just like, hi, about that apartment, what would you do for a 5-side team? Mine would be Connor Kearns, Greg Bulger. It's so random, like, but did I read that question yet? What would you change your name to if you could only use wrestler nicknames, first, middle, and last name needed? So,
randomer has this in the inbox.
Yeah, you're like,
hi Maria, what would you change your name to if you could only use wrestler nicknames,
first, middle, and last needed? So, I have to research this, so I couldn't think of any off the top of my head. I'm gonna just. Unfortunately, my answer for this isn't great because I'm not combining any names. I'm just taking one that I didn't know existed, but apparently it did. Ryback referred to himself at one point as the master of the Feed Me More. And I claim it. I claim it. That's the best name I've ever heard in my life.
Rick the Prick Nash. Like, it's right there. Like,
who's the prick?
Oh, you have to use wrestler names.
Oh, does it not?
So first, what? Like,
who's
what?
The prick?
Oh, so I have to give myself a nickname that fits within my nickname.
No,
so
I thought it was you stole someone else's nickname, no?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was you steal their nickname is now your name. So, like, if you wanted to call yourself the Great One, your name would now be the Great One.
Like, in the real world?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
no,
come back to
there's
me.
No nicknames.
The People's
mentioned.
Champion, then. The People's Champion I want to call.
Why?
I want to be like in work. I'm like, hi, thanks for calling. The People's Champion.
Oh, actually, hang on. Let's go back to the first
question
first.
We've all got this question wrong. It's a first, middle, and last name. No nicknames. So I think it's like you call yourself like, I don't know.
So like, Baron.
Oh, no, hang on. He does say wrestler nicknames, actually.
Sorry, just
so
go back.
So it's three nicknames then.
But just to go back before I lose it, to go back to the first question for one sec, what's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child? As a child, I thought that the People's Champion was a legitimate title. And I used to play Here Comes the Pain when I was really young, and I'd look through all the titles and be like, where's the People's Championship? Where's the lineage? So, that's the dumbest thing I've ever as a child as well. So just to go back. But yeah, back to this question. I didn't really understand this, so there's my answer.
Baron Goldust Smith.
Who's Smith? Ashton Smith, there you go.
No, Davey Boy I was thinking.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like, Baron Goldust Smith. So I was like, Baron Goldust Smith.
Yeah.
It's going to be Big Papa Pump. That's all I want to be.
All right.
I just take a one
name. But you
can
be like Big Papa Peter or something cool like that. You can mix it together. Like, that's actually a deadly name. Yeah.
Big Papa Peter.
Big Papa Pete or something. Pete Dunne is now Big Papa Pete.
Big Papa Pete.
Big Papa Pete.
There we go. I'll actually tell you how to answer for that.
I didn't get to answer this question, but I want to answer it quickly about the cameo in the films or TV. I didn't know Kevin Nash was in Magic Mike until I was sitting in the cinema.
Ah.
And oh my God, that was the biggest, best surprise of my life. Just sitting there, film about strippers, already excited about it. And then Kevin Nash is one of them. It was the best.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, but what's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child?
I forgot about that. This show's gone so long.
Do you want to try that again?
What's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child?
That's the question.
That I've ever as a child.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child?
I don't know. I was a real dumb child. My mad told
The fact that you just accepted that at face value as well.
My mad told me once I felt arse first into a big bucket, and I was stuck, like my arse is in the bucket and my hands and legs were sticking out and I couldn't free myself, and instead of helping me they got out the video camera and then eventually I struggled so much I tipped over, but I still wasn't free. So, yeah,
that's actually so similar to the answer to Liger. Like, only people will know. That's actually a payoff for the show. Right there. It's insane. There's a common thread here in low blows, I guess. There we go.
Okay, we'll end it there. But what's the dumbest thing you've ever as a child? Feel free to tweet us in. Bye.